Welcome back to the UFO Files. I'm Jerry Pippin in Muskogee, Oklahoma, and in Secaucus, New Jersey, here's Larry Dickin. Welcome back to the show, Larry.
Are you ready, Jerry?
I'm ready if you are.
Okay. All right. Tonight, before we get into our usual weekly UFO sightings report, I have a special guest who is in my home with me tonight, and he's a neighbor and friend right from here in Secaucus, New Jersey. Can't be in a better place than that. And I tell you, this is really quite a find that we've made here. My guest, his name is Robert Freulenstedt, and Jerry, just call him Robert or
okay.
Bob.
Can I call you Bob?
Yes, Bob.
Okay, Bob. Okay.
And
or do you call him Robert, Larry? What do you call him?
Bob.
Okay, we'll call him Bob.
And I tell you, it's quite an interesting story, because many, many years ago, in fact, in 1979, Bob's father had an experience in North Hudson Park here in New Jersey. Now, North Hudson Park is right next to the Hudson River, and it was the location of a very famous sighting that was Bud Hopkins' first reported UFO incident. That's what got Bud interested in UFOs and started him on his career as a UFO investigator. And this was the 1975 sighting in North Hudson Park that involved a UFO actually landing in the park. It was observed by a number of people, including a doorman at an apartment on the east side of the park, and also by a person driving in a car through the park, saw the UFO land, and little gray aliens got out, took some soil samples, got back in the craft, and took off. Now, Bud and I had a conversation last week, and I introduced Bud to Robert, and Bud and Robert have had an extensive conversation on this particular event, and it does involve missing time and an abduction, but this is not the same event as in 1975. It just happens to be in the same location. This occurred in 1979. And Bud informed me, and I was somewhat aware of this anyway, that North Hudson Park seems to attract UFOs for some reason. There have been a number of incidents reported in the park since 1975, and the last one I can remember was in the mid-1980s. There were a number of incidents reported there, and they probably still continue today. So, given that introductory information, Jerry, I'm going to turn you over to Robert, and he's going to tell you his story as related to him by his father, and you can take it from there.
Okay, Robert, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jerry.
And I guess you and Larry have known each other for a while, and then all of a sudden he became aware of this only recently, huh?
Exactly.
So you don't necessarily run around telling people this story all the time.
No, not usually.
Why don't you let our listeners in on exactly, you start where you want, and let's just go ahead and
Sure. Tell
us the story.
Well, it was 1979, and I was 13, going on 14. And my father was coming home from work, and he was driving on Boulevard East, which is right adjacent with the Hudson River. And he turned off into the park, which is North Hudson Park.
And how big of a park is this for our listeners? It's pretty extensive, isn't it?
It's a big park. It takes up, I think, around five blocks.
Okay.
It's a big park. And it's right across from the Hudson River, so it's the view of Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of large high-rises around it. And he was driving to the park, and he says his car stopped. And he saw this big bright light on top of his car. And then there was something in front of the car, like some kind of a ship. And all he really remembers was his radio went dead, and he kind of heard some strange things on the radio. Not sure what it was.
He never really told you what the strange things were. I mean, it was different
kind
of language.
No, he kind of said it was like a language he didn't understand,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what he only really remembers is this ship in front of him, and the top of it opened, and he saw what you call now a grays, a little guy with the
mm-hmm.
big eyes, and then it shut and basically took off, which he felt was like 10 minutes, if that. But he got home like 3 hours later. Figuring it was just 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty common in that. So he was gone for that long period of time. So obviously he was abducted.
Yeah, that's what we would think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now when he got home and told this story, of course we all thought he was crazy. You know, I was only 13, but my mother wasn't sure what was going on. You know. And he thought he was nuts too. He didn't want the story to get out. He didn't want people to know about it. You know. That night or the night after, he started having these dreams. Weird enough, it was about the Miss America, the Miss America pageant, which was 1979. And he had these dreams, and he felt like it was real, like it was like he was there. Now, he named the winner that year, which was Cheryl Pruitt, 1979, what state she was from, what she looked like, what color dress she was wearing, what song she sang. I mean, every detail possible. And
I wonder if you watched it on television.
Well, we did. We had friends over that night,
mm-hmm.
and we were all watching it on television.
Mm-hmm.
And no one really took it seriously until and she actually sang the song and wore the dress and came out and actually won that year. You know, he has no affiliation with the Miss America contest, you know.
That's pretty interesting, isn't it? I mean, do you guys feel, and did your father feel, that he was transported down there, or does he have any theory?
I don't think he really discussed about a theory he had about it. You
uh-huh.
know, it was just basically...
Jerry, if I can interject here, it's not uncommon that abductees report that after their abductions, they seem to have heightened... quote, psychic powers of various kinds, some of which is the ability to predict future events.
And of course, we theorized this before, Robert, that maybe they actually were into the future and back. That's some of the time travel theories involved in these things. I'm not sure that Larry or I buy into that, but it is common, isn't it, Larry?
Yes, it is.
So he was able to tell you anything about this Miss America pageant. You watched it on television. Everything he said was correct.
Everything.
Hmm.
He said his dreams felt like he was actually there. You know, he even told us what he wore. You know, it felt like he was actually there.
Boy,
he had everything on the money.
Boy, it would have been weird if they'd showed a shot of the audience and there he was.
Yeah, it would have been a little startling. But, yeah, and I definitely feel it has something to do with the whole sighting, you know, whether it was an abduction or whatever you want to call it. But
how long was he missing?
He, like I said, he was supposed to be home at a certain time. He came home 3 hours later,
mm-hmm.
but he felt it was 10 minutes. He had no
mm-hmm.
idea what time it was when he got home.
So he was astounded when your mother said, "Well, where have you been?"
Well, she was basically waiting up,
mm-hmm.
you know, worried where he was, and that's basically the situation when he walked in 3 hours late, and that was his story.
Now, when he had these dreams that were so realistic, you lived in the same household. I mean, did he make noises or anything about that?
While he was dreaming?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think so.
Okay,
I mean,
okay,
you know,
just
I wasn't
curious.
In the room, but I don't think so. But basically, he just told the story, the dream he had when he woke up, you know, and that was it. He felt it was weird. He felt it was worth mentioning because it was different than any other dreams he had. It
mm-hmm.
felt like he was actually there.
Did your father say during this time that when he was stopped there at the park, I guess it was no other traffic, just him with the spotlight and the UFO in front of him?
Yeah, he doesn't recall any other traffic.
And he does remember the little gray coming out, but to him it seems like it just came out and went back in.
That's what it seems like, yeah. That's all he remembers was the top of the ship opening up and seeing the gray and then... closing again.
Interesting, Larry.
Yes.
It's certainly interesting. I wonder, thinking about this, did your father remember more later on, or was this just basically all he said about it?
No, that was basically all he said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there wasn't really more than that.
So that's an interesting thing. And that's in Hudson Park?
In North Hudson Park.
And that's about, 150 miles from Atlantic City?
Yeah, it's about 150 miles.
So,
right across the river from Manhattan.
Sure. So, I mean, the Miss America pageant, that's an interesting twist. I haven't heard that before.
No.
Well, Larry Dickin, what do you think about it all?
Well, one other fact I'd like to throw in here real quick is the fact that, you know, when his father came home that night and told his wife and Robert about his experience, you know, he's saying, you know, I'm wondering if, you know, I'm the only person that saw this, or, you know, did anybody else see this? And so the next day they checked the newspapers, and specifically a paper that was published back then, it was called the Hudson County Dispatch, which is now a part of the Jersey Journal.
Mm-hmm.
And in the paper there was an article that indeed reported this UFO incident, not particularly talking about him. This was another eyewitness observer, or perhaps several of them, in the area of the park did indeed see a UFO come down and land in the park. So
wow.
That confirmed that the sighting, you know, was a real thing. Mm-hmm. Several people saw this craft. But he is the one that had the personal abduction experience.
Bob, has anything happened to you personally?
No, not to me personally.
Well, has Larry explained to you that some of these times these things run in the family?
Yeah, he has. I'm still waiting.
Well, it's interesting, and of course that fact about it being backed up would be a newspaper article, Larry, and then the Miss America angle. This is a unique story for sure, Bob. We appreciate it.
Yes, and Bud, as I said, is following up on this, and you know, if there's any way to get in touch, you know, with the actual eyewitness here, and have him get together with Bud and do some regression therapy, it might prove to be some meat for a future book.
Yep. Okay.
So, you know, we'll be looking forward to hearing from Bud and what he has to say about this.
And of course, Bud will be on the show again in August.
Right, August the 9th, he's scheduled to be on the show. Now, I think it'll probably be premature to ask him about this particular case at that point in time, but if something arises, then he'll certainly bring it up then.
Well, Robert?
Yes?
Thank you very much for being candid with us and telling us about that.
You're welcome.
And let us know. We want to be the first to know when you have your personal experience, if you ever do.
I sure will.
Okay.
It was a pleasure.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Larry, I'm going to take a break, and we'll be back with the sightings, okay?
Okay.
Okay, we'll be right back, folks, so don't go away.